appreciate that. If you'll just remain standing, and we'll read the Word of God together this morning. And you can be turning in your Bibles to the book of Romans and chapter number 15. Romans and chapter number 15 in the Word of God this morning, okay? Romans chapter number 15. And I'm going to be reading about three verses of Scripture there and bringing the thought that I think the Lord has laid upon my heart for us this morning. I trust it'll be a blessing to you and a help to you in your Christian life. Romans in chapter number 15. Am I on up here, Brother Robert? Getting sound through here, okay. Romans chapter number 15, and we're going to begin reading in verse number 1. Brother Paul writing to the Roman church here, and he said, "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves." What a statement. "Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me." Let's look to the Lord in just a moment of prayer, okay? Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the opportunity this morning to preach the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for the good testimonies, song service. God bless my heart and the fellowship with your people today. I pray you'll meet with each one. Give us grace and help. We need your help, Lord, each one of us. There's not a one here today or one by the radio that does not need the help of God. I pray that you'll wrap your everlasting arms of love and mercy around us, draw us close to the bosom of Christ, and bless us, Lord, and speak to our hearts as only you can. Save sinners that are without you, those, Lord, that have never received forgiveness of sin. May they today come to know Christ. Have your divine will and way in every heart, and we have liberty in the house of God. And Father, we'll thank you and praise you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. And you may be seated. And I'll be seated as well, I think, this morning. I may get up here in a minute and run a lap or two. I don't know. I'm feeling pretty good. Amen. I want to try to preach a little while this morning, if the Lord will help me, out of these verses. And I'll get to the thought in just a moment, but I want to preach for a little while, God helping me, on practical things that please the Lord. You know, as I wrote in the bulletin this morning, I feel like we've gotten to a place in our Christian lives where we expect a person that is spiritual to be something that is beyond superhuman. I think we're looking, you know, at things that that are maybe beyond, really, the scope of what God wants us to. You know, it is just the practical things of life that make us Christians. The daily things that we do, how we conduct ourselves, our character that we have, that's the things that make us Christians. That's also the things, by the way, that please the Lord. Now, we talk about, and there's nothing wrong. In fact, it's necessary. We've heard stories about how men have been great prayer warriors, and that's wonderful. We all need to pray and get a hold of God. Need to pray daily, three times. And Daniel prayed three times a day. David said morning and evening and noon he would pray unto the Lord. So there's certainly a time of prayer. And, you know, there's a time of worship and so forth and so on and so forth. But there are some practical things in life that I think that we're overlooking. You know, sometimes we look at things that we think that are just simple and don't really amount to much. But when you take them all into consideration, all of them together, they're worth a great deal. A penny's not much, but you take a room this size full of pennies, you're going to have a whole lot of money. That's kind of what I'm talking about this morning, just some practical things that please the Lord. I noticed in reading this passage, the word please is used there three times. In fact, in verse number 1, it refers to you and I. that we're to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Now, I'm going to tell you, that's easy to say, but it's not that easy to do. But when you stop and think about that in practical Christian life, bearing the infirmities of somebody else. Somebody said, "Preacher, well, how can I bear somebody else's infirmities?" Well, I won't say this, and I know I'm going to be criticized for it, but do you realize that we can really bear the sins of other people? I think that's exactly what Abraham did when the Lord and went down into Sodom and Gomorrah. I believe when he divinely intervened for Lot and his family in Sodom and Gomorrah, that he was actually bearing the sins of those people in his heart and doing his best to divinely intervene and intercede and pray that God would deliver them. And so, everybody is not on the same spiritual plane. Not everybody is a spiritual to somebody else. There's many that are weak. Yes, and Paul is referring to that in the previous chapter, and I'm not going back there, but he talks about the food that we eat and this and that and the weak brother and all this. I'm not going in that direction. We can bear the infirmities of those that are weak. And the Bible said, and not to please ourselves. So if we're not pleasing ourselves, then that means we're doing something that is pleasing to them. It may be unpleasing to us, but it's pleasing to them, and it is the will of God. And because it's what it says in the Word of God. Then in chapter number 2, he said, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good edification. That is, and the word please simply means to be agreeable. We ought to be agreeable. We ought to be agreeable with our neighbor enough that we can befriend them. And in so doing, we can please that brother and that neighbor unto edification. And then thirdly, he mentions in verse number 3 that Christ did not please himself, but Christ came to please the Father. Amen. In thy word it is written of me, said, I have come to do thy will, O God. And in that he did. He didn't come to please himself. He came to please God. In the garden, he said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, thy will be done and not mine. And God's will was done. And Jesus did not please himself, but he come to please the Father. And you know, I believe God wants you and I to live that same life. Rather than pleasing ourselves, and I'll get to this in a minute, If we're pleasing ourselves all the time and neglecting others, then really what that amounts to is we're selfish.
That's right.
We're selfish. And I don't think God wants us to be selfish people at all. But he wants us to please other people. Now, there's just some practical things that I've written down here. To be honest with you, I can honestly say and tell you this and be truthful about it, that my wife wrote this outline for me. I gave it to her and she typed it out. And so I didn't have to write it. I was a little shaky and she typed it out on the computer and printed it out for me. You won't hold me at fault for that, will you? I hope not. But I hope you won't anyway. But I think I've got about 7 things here that I think are just practical things that I believe that please the Lord. And I'd like to begin by saying that I think it pleases the Lord when you and I forbear one another in love. Forbear one another in love. The Bible said in Colossians 3:12, put on therefore as the elect of God. Now that's our conduct. Put on therefore as the elect of God. As God's people, God's chosen people, we're to be different than others. And we're to put on. We are to conduct ourselves as the elect of God. And in that way, in doing that, we're holy and beloved. That's what we're putting on now. Vows of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long suffering. Now, a lot of people say, well, you're a sissy if you do all that. No, that makes you a real man. When you're humble and you're meek and you're long suffering, that doesn't make you weak at all before God. That makes you strong before the Lord. And you're not a sissy, you're a man. And if somebody wants to call you a sissy because of that, then they need to look at the Lord Jesus and call him a sissy, because that's exactly what he did. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now, if you get a hold of that, he humbled himself. God did not have to humble him. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Moses was the meekest man in all the earth. Are we going to say that Moses was weak because he was the meekest man in all the earth? I dare say not. But you know why? Hey, in being weak, he was able to forbear those that he led out of Egypt, and in doing that, he forbore them in the love of God. Now that verse goes on to say, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Now I'm going to say something, folks. That is Bible. God, Christ, hath forgiven you and I of our sins. And I simply wrote down here, we are not to hold grudges. God help us if we hold a grudge against somebody else. We are to forbear one another in love. And that word forbear simply means being patient with others that are wrong. If somebody has wronged you, we are to be patient with them. We're to forbear them in love. That's right. And we're not to be heady. We're not to be high-minded. But we are to forbear them in love. And we're to forgive them. Now, I've heard people say, you know, I don't believe I can ever forgive that person. I don't know how anybody can say that. When we examine our own lives, look at our own heart, realize how vile and wretched and miserable and poor and naked and blind that we were, how ungodly we were, how sinful we were, how we had transgressed the law of God, the commandments of God, in so many ways, at so many times, shook our fist in the face of God, and almost defied God before we got saved. But thank God there come a day when He broke our heart, when He broke our heart, and He forgave us of our sin, and we received Him, and He divinely birthed us into the family of God. I want to praise Him and thank Him for that. You know, I could be in hell today, you could be in hell today, but we're sitting here enjoying one another's testimonies, listening to somebody tell how God has blessed them and done for them, and rejoicing in that. Amen. That's right. And we ought to be able to forbear one another. We ought to be able to forbear one another. That is to be patient with others that are at fault. Has someone faulted you and you're going to take vengeance against them because of it? I'd say you better watch your step. You'll get on some dangerous ground. You know why? The Bible said, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. I'm going to tell you, we need not take vengeance in our own hands. If somebody has aught against us, we better not take that into our own hands and try to settle it ourselves. Forbear them. Forbear them in love. Just love them. And let God take care of that situation. Now, if we don't, I'm going to tell you what if we do, what we're living is an unselfish life. God does not want us to be selfish, but unselfish toward other people. I'm honest. We ought to put other people before we do ourselves. But I'm going to tell you, I don't know. Then that is just simple Christianity. And it's so simple that it seems like that it's not really necessary. But I'm going to tell you, it is necessary. Christ put you and I first before Himself. He didn't have to die for you. He chose to die for you. Even after He died for you, He didn't have to come to where you were. He did not have to bring conviction in your life. He did not have to convert you. He did not have to deliver you from your sin. But by the grace of God, He did. And the reason He did, He was unselfish. Can you see Him today as He walks up Calvary's Hill, bearing His own cross, bloody, beaten beyond recognition, and yet, in an unselfish way, He bears His own cross that you and I should have been nailed upon. We should have died. Barabbas should have died. But Christ took his place. There's a lot of Barabbases sitting around in here this morning that Christ took your place on Calvary. Amen. You should have been nailed to that cross. You should have suffered. I should have suffered. We should have died on that cross. But Christ is so unselfish that he did it for you and I. What a blessing. Hallelujah. And in doing that, he gave us life. And by the way, he gave it to us more abundantly. We ought to rejoice. Hey, by the way, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Hallelujah. There's no need sitting around with a mully grubs and a lower lip dragging the ground. We need to be rejoicing in the Lord today. God, he's so unselfish that he gave his life that we might have life. Though he was rich, yet he became poor that you and I might be made rich in him. We may not have a lot of money, but I'll tell you, we're rich in grace. We're rich in glory. Yes, sir, we've been saved by the good grace of God. And so, we need to be unselfish. And then in doing that, in forbearing one another in love, being unselfish in our life, but we need to understand other people. Do we really take time? I want to ask you something. Do we really take the time to try to understand how somebody else feels? We spend more time in our life worrying about how we feel in our own heart and life and what's going on with us than we do with what's going on with somebody else. We ought to give. Amen. Come on now. We need to learn to give ourselves to them and try to understand people. I mean, we see somebody, you know, that seems to be acting a little strange. And rather than try to understand what their problem is and pray for them, we get kind of upset about it, don't we? You might as well say amen right there. But we need to learn to understand people. I've been married to my wife for 46 years. And I think I'm finally understanding her. I mean that. It took a long time. It's not something that can be done overnight. But I'm telling you, that's what God wants us to do. If we're going to forbear one another in love, we better learn to understand what that other brother is going through. Hey, we better not criticize somebody else until we have walked in the shoes that they're walking in. Better be careful. They may be walking down a pathway that we've never been down. They may be in some trouble that we've never been in. They may be facing problems that we've never faced. I've never faced the problems Job did. I've never been persecuted like David. I've never been persecuted like Paul. No, sir, I've never been imprisoned like Paul was. No. So we need to try to understand other people and forbear them in love. And then in doing that, we're going to have to be undergirded in God's love. That is, God, if we're going to forbear somebody in love, we're going to have to know what love is. I don't know if we really know what love is today. I don't think we can explain it, but I think we know when we've got it. I mean, I know that I love my wife. I know I've got it. Somebody said, how'd you get it? I have no idea. I just know I got it. I know that Christ loves me. Somebody said, how do you know it? Well, the Bible says so. But I know it. I know it more than just, I know it on the inside. I don't know why, but God loves me. And that's right. And we're undergirded by that love. We're going to have to learn to love people like Christ loved us if we're going to forbear them in love. That is, if we are going to be patient with them that are wrong. If they wronged us or they're in the wrong, we need to learn to be patient with them. Then I've got to hurry. Ephesians 4:1, the Bible said, therefore, Paul said, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, doing what, Brother Paul? Forbearing one another in love. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, can I explain that to you a little bit? If we're saved in here this morning, there is a unity of the Spirit. But there's not always a bond of peace. We're all tied together by the Spirit of God. But there's not always peace in the house of God. But I'm going to tell you, if we learn to forbear one another in love, we can keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of fussing and quarreling. I stopped that a long time ago. And I learned a long time ago, God can take care of problems that I can't handle. Now I've made up my mind, I'm not fighting anymore. Not openly. If I've got to fight with somebody, I'll do it on my knees and I'll pray for them. I'm going to tell you what the Lord said about that. He said, if you'll pray for those that despitefully use you, it'll be like putting coals of fire upon their head. That's exactly right. We need to learn to do that, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And I think I got my pages mixed up here. Miss Hall's got me all confused here. Hallelujah. Miss Hall, what have you done? You went from 1 to 4. I guess Brother Hall done that. All right, I want to say number two. Forbearing one another in love, but a practical thing to please others and to please the Lord is we can do it simply by following the shepherd. The Lord Jesus Himself said in John 10:27, "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of My hand." Hey, are we following the Lord this morning? Or are we following ourselves or somebody else? That's a good question to ask and put the test in our heart. Who are we following today? I'm telling you, I've been preaching for several years. I've been in a lot of churches. I've seen a lot of people. I've seen a lot of Baptists. And you'd be amazed at Baptists that follow the preacher more than they follow God. Now I think they ought to honor the man of God. They ought to respect the man of God. But Paul said, "You follow Me as I follow Christ." And I'm going to tell you, hey, there's too many people today that are following the preacher rather than following God. You know, there's a fellow that's been on, I think, got a web page. And all they ever do is get on there and argue and fuss and fight. And they've divided the brethren. Amen. They've sown discord among the brethren. And they've divided the people up. And the only thing they do is get on there. And they're not following the Lord. They're not following the Lord. They're following a man. They're listening to the voice of a man. Now, I'm going to tell you, if you listen to the voice of man, you're going to wind up somewhere down the road in serious trouble. Now, and I'm not talking about the preaching now. I'm just talking about following a man's opinions that he always has, really opinionated and following his opinions rather than following what God said in this book. God's given us a guide. That guide is called the Word of God. And I'm going to tell you, it will lead us in places God wants us to go. Amen. Places of blessing, places of grace and mercy and help if we will follow that shepherd. He'll lead us into shady green pastures. He'll lead us beside the still waters. He'll lead us away from traps and snares and troubles and the devil that would ensnare us and lead us astray. He certainly will. Amen. And He does that because of His purpose. He's got a purpose for you. God wants us to follow Him because there's a purpose in life for every one of us. I think somebody said, "Richard, that's just so simple." That's what I'm trying to get across to you. It is simple, but there is when was the last time you prayed and asked God, "What is my purpose in life? What have you got for me to do in the service of God? What do you want me to do as far as your child? What can I do in my life? What is my purpose of being here?" I'm going to tell you what our purpose is. It's to please God. It's to please our neighbor. It's to walk uprightly, to walk humbly, to walk in meekness, forbearing one another in love, and following God in whatever direction He'd have us to go in our life. Now, I'm going to tell you, somebody said, well, that's easy, Brother Hall. Is it really? Is it really easy following God? I know some folks that wouldn't. Hey, if God called them to go somewhere, they wouldn't go if their life depended on it. I'm talking about preachers. I've known preachers in South Carolina. They were all called to preach and ready to go anywhere God wanted them to go, as long as it was in Greenville County. They was ready to go anywhere in Greenville County, but not out of it. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If you're a preacher here today, and you know who I'm preaching to, if you're a preacher here today, I'm simply telling you, you better be prepared to go where God leads you. You better follow Him there. If you don't, you know where you are. You're outside the will of God. And I'm telling you, it's dangerous to be outside the will of God. So I said, oh, Brother Hall, I'm telling you, it is dangerous to be outside the will of God. Amen. That's right. Now, His purpose. He leads us by His power. And then His preservation. He said in that text, you're not going to perish, neither shall any man pluck you out of my hand. Isn't that wonderful? Following Him gives us, preserves us by His power. I could almost get out and run one more time around the building, I believe, to know that I'm preserved in Christ Jesus. Yes, amen. And now I'm going to tell you something. The seal is not about to give way. We're sealed until the day of redemption. That's right. I believe it was Brother Don Anderson said one time that his mama was canning green beans. And she cooked those beans and set them out on the table and said all at once that he heard something go. Then he heard something else go. Then he heard something else go. Something else go. He said, Mama, what's them beans doing? What's wrong with them jars? And she said, Son, those jars are sealing. And I'm going to tell you, they'll stay there for a long time, those green beans will, in those jars. They've got a seal on them. Well, brother, I've got a seal that's far beyond those green beans, ladies and gentlemen. You better believe I have. I'm sealed by the Spirit of God until the day of redemption. I'm going to say this and be kind of bold about it. I personally believe that when a saint dies and they put that body in the ground, the Spirit of God that has dwelt in this tabernacle all them years is not going to leave your body. Somebody said, oh, Brother Hall, if you read Romans chapter number 8, you'll have to come to the same conclusion that I have, that if the Spirit of Christ dwells in you, He shall also quicken your mortal body. Paul tells you very plainly there that your spirit is life in Christ, but your body is dead. Amen. But it will be quickened. How? By the Spirit of God that dwells there. He that quickened us and made us alive in Christ will also quicken this mortal body. Son, it's dead. I'm dead on the outside. I'm so dead I stink on the outside. Amen. That's right. And that's a fact. But I'm telling you one of these days, buddy, I'm going to get quickened on the outside. When that outside is made like on the inside, I'll be a new man all over, sure enough. And what a glorious day that's going to be, ladies and gentlemen, when this old body sheds this flesh and we rise to meet the everlasting prize and for the glory and honor of God. Bless His holy name. Hallelujah. Now, in following the shepherd, I just wrote down a few things here. Remain close. Don't stray. Brother, it's easy to stray from Christ. And it is. It's easy to be drawn away of our own lust and enticed. And when that happens, we sin. Better hang close to Him. You better cleave. In fact, the Bible says, cleave unto the Lord. We better cleave unto God. And remain close to Him. By studying our Bible. Praying, staying in the house of God. Don't get out of the house of God. I won't say this to you. Now, I probably shouldn't say this, but God laid it on my heart, and I'm going to. I don't know how many more days I've got left to sit where I'm sitting this morning. I have no earthly idea. I can tell you this, that my body's getting weaker all the time. I can tell you that. When it comes 5 o'clock, I don't have much left in me. I don't know when God will deliver me from this place, lead me away. But I know one thing. that God does not want one member of this church, whoever comes to pastor, as long as they're right with God and preaching the Bible, they're not going to be like Brother Hall. They're not going to be like I've been. They're not going to give you what you've been used to getting in a manner you've been used to getting. As you've noticed, Brother Hall has changed a lot over the years. Me and Miss Hall were talking about it last night. She said, honey, you're going to have to learn to stay a little quiet. You don't have the strength you used to have. She said, let the young boys kick up their legs. Let the young boys jump across the pews and across the seat. You stay in your chair and try to give them just one little nugget. She said, I remember when we went to Tabernacle. Said they talked about Dr. Sattler, how he used to get so wild. He actually jumped through a window head first one night, preaching in a revival meeting. Jumped through that window. She said, I remember when you was young, how you'd run and jump and this and that, twist and turn. In fact, Brother Brown said, I've never seen a man get his body in so many different positions while he's preaching all my life. That's what Brother Hall does. Well, I can't do that anymore. It's going, hey, and I don't know who's going to follow me here. But what I'm telling you is, they're not going to be like Brother Hall. And just because their demeanor is not like mine doesn't give you an excuse or a right to depart from this church and go looking for another place. Are you listening to what I'm telling you? If you do, I'm going to tell you what you're doing. You're following a man and you're not following God, and God's not pleased with that, and you're not pleasing man nor helping man. You're selfish and you're helping yourself rather than helping the house of God and helping God. Say amen or oh me. That's right. Now, so remain close. Then just rest calmly in His grace. If we're following Him, just rest there. There's nothing like rest. Boy, just resting in the everlasting arms of Christ. Hey, isn't it wonderful just to follow the Lord and rest there? Hey, when I come in this morning, I didn't know what all was going on. I walked out of that office. I thought, boy, here we are broke. I don't know how we're going to build that building. I don't know where money's coming from. But before I come out of that office, somebody said, preacher said, I got a check coming in the mail, be coming for $3,200 to the church. And I walked up back there, and Brother Steve said, preacher, said, here's $2,000 we got back from Menards. That was stuff Brother Mark took back up there and turned in. We're talking about $5,200. Somebody said, that won't go very far. It doesn't have to. One day at a time, dear Jesus, that's all I can say.
Amen.
One day at a time. He'll lead us one day at a time. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I'll break that down a little more. He'll probably lead us 1 hour at a time. Can I break that on down? He'll lead us 1 minute at a time. Can I break that on down? He'll lead us 1 second at a time. He wants us to follow Him every second of the day, ladies and gentlemen, up to 24 hours a day. Amen. Even when we go to bed. Hallelujah to God. That's right. And just rest. Don't get nervous. Don't get upset. Don't get worried. We run out of money, we get upset. We get restless, worried, and our mind begins to turn and twist. We begin to wonder how we're going to make it. What are we going to do? We're going to lose it all. We're going belly up. Well, maybe not. You've still got God. After all, the Lord didn't die yesterday. He's still alive, ladies and gentlemen. Now, I'm going to tell you, I don't know what dilemma you might be in, but He is able and has the power to lift you out of whatever dilemma you might be in this morning.
Amen.
Not only does He have the power and might do it, if you'll trust Him, He will do it.
Amen.
He told Paul, as Paul said, He delivered me out of all of my troubles. And why would He deliver Paul and not deliver you and I? He delivered Paul. He didn't love Paul 1 ounce more than He loves you and I. He didn't love Moses one bit more than He loves you and I. But oh, they were great men of God. Yes, they were great men of God. But they were also children of God, and so are we children of God.
That's right, amen.
Now I'm going to tell you, He doesn't love them a bit more than He loves us. And if He delivered them, He'll deliver us. And then we'll just run with patience in this race. I mean, just be patient. Follow Him and be patient. Then I want to say thirdly, there's another little simple thing here that I think is pleasing unto God, And that is just simply faith in the Lord Jesus. Isn't that so simple? Somebody said, now, Brother Hall, you know, everybody knows that. But I wonder if everybody's doing it. Can I read to you what the Bible says? The Bible said in Hebrews 11:5, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found. They must have been looking for him. When Enoch lifted off, somebody must have been running around and said, well, what happened to Enoch? Well, where'd he go? Well, he was not found. Can I say this? That one of these days we're going to lift off. There'll probably be some people running around saying, well, where's old Gray at? What happened, brother? Where's Troy Rickard? I haven't seen him around in months. Where's he at? I'm going to tell you what. Because we're going to be translated. Amen. Enoch, amen, by faith, was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he done what? Please God. I'm talking about pleasing. Practical things that please God. The Bible said that Enoch pleased God. Simple as that. And he pleased God. Hey, but the Bible says, goes on to say, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And I'm going to tell you something. The faith here is not only saving faith, but it's living faith. There is a saving faith that saves us from sin, but there is a daily faith, a living faith, that we live by every day. And and that faith in our Lord, it's just so simple. It's so simple. But it's just practical things that we need to do. And I want to ask you something this morning. Do you really live by the faith of the Son of God that loved you and gave himself for you? Do we really live by the faith of the Lord Jesus? Do we have faith in him? Do we believe? If we do, then we ought to stay steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. That's right. That is right. Now, his testimony. He had this testimony. That testimony had to be tried. I don't know what kind of a testimony it was, but it said he had a testimony. He had this testimony that he pleased God. Now, get a hold of this now. That was his testimony. In other words, there was other people out there. Let me just move out here just a minute. I believe it'll help. There was people out there that saw Enoch. And when they looked at them, you know what they said? Oh, Enoch pleases God. Right. It was his testimony. Now, I'm going to tell you something. It takes a long time to build a testimony. It's just a short while to lose it. I heard just yesterday, of another preacher that everybody in this building knows has fallen by the wayside. You know what got him? Same thing that gets everybody else. Females. Doc Siler told us that men, one or two things will get you if you're not careful. Finances and females. And a female got him. If I told you the name, everybody in here would know who it was. And a female got him, as sure as I'm standing where I'm standing. Now, I'm telling you, they're falling by the wayside. Are you listening to what I'm telling you this morning? Long time to build a testimony, and this man had one. That quick, and it was gone. But, hey, Enoch died with that testimony. He never lost it. When he was translated, he had a testimony that he pleased God. Wouldn't it be wonderful for you and I to go out of here in the rapture with a testimony that we please God in this life? I don't know about you, but I want to do that. I want to hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. Come on now, help me a little bit.
Amen.
That's right. Now, I won't say his testimony was tried, but hallelujah, his trip was glorious. He took a trip, boys. The greatest trip that was ever made was when Jesus left heaven and come to earth. And died on Calvary. The greatest tragedy was people that don't believe on him. But there's going to be another trip one of these days. that you and I are going to make. And it's going to be a glorious trip. You know why? In that trip, we're going to be translated. We're going to be translated. Now, I didn't say transported. It said translated. In other words, on the way, somehow, we're going to be changed all over.
Amen.
What a glorious trip. We're going to see heaven, folks.
Amen.
Can we get a hold of that today? Are we living in a real world? We're going to see heaven.
Amen.
Street of gold. I told Miss Hall last night, I said, you know something? I said, if God wanted to, He could just chunk up a chunk of gold and hand it down anytime He wanted to, rub His hand over the hole and fill it back up. That's right. That's God. He's not broke. And you're not going to defile heaven. There's nothing going to enter in that defileth it. There's no lost people going to be there. There's no sin going to be there. And hallelujah to God, there ain't going to be no devil there either. He's going to be in hell where he belongs. That's right. Somebody said, well, you oughtn't to say that. I am saying it. I'll be glad when he goes to hell.
Amen.
He has dragged many a soul down a path that led them to a dead end and eventually wound up in hell without God and without hope. He is a liar and the father of it. He's ungodly. He's an enemy of Christ, an enemy of church, an enemy of the Christian. I'm telling you, I hate the devil. I don't hate people, but I hate the devil.
Amen.
Somebody said, you oughtn't to hate him. You ought to pray for him. Why? Why pray for somebody you know is going to hell? I ain't praying for the devil.
Amen.
Be such a fool as that. Somebody said, well, he might get saved. I hope you're not that ignorant.
Right.
He ain't going to make it.
No,
I know he's not from the Bible. Or he told me so.
Amen.
What a trip.
Amen.
Then I'm going to say, Enoch's time on this earth was used wisely. Somebody said, what do you mean use wisely? He walked with God. You can be any wiser than that in your time than to walk with God. I want to say number four, simple thing, forsaking of sin.
Amen.
Well, the Bible said in Proverbs 28:13, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. I want you to hear what I'm getting ready to tell you. If God has enlightened you of sin in your life and you neglect that sin and continue on living a life in that sin, there remaineth no more sacrifice for that sin for you. That's what Paul said in the book of Hebrews. I'm telling you, I'm afraid there's a lot of people that are still following a sin in their life that God has enlightened them about. They know it's sin. They know it's wrong. And yet they're following after it. They will not turn it loose. Buddy, I'm telling you better. Hey, if you will never find mercy until you forsake that sin. Forsake it. I'm talking about adultery, drunkenness, fornication. Buddy, I'm telling you, you better forsake it. All this mess that's in the world, some of you would do well to forsake them stinking telephones you got. And them computers you got. And them big giant screens you got. That's right. I'm talking about them pills. I never in my life, can you believe, they honestly, people smoke an electronic cigarette. What in the God's name is an electronic cigarette? I don't know how it could be. Electronic cigarettes? Come on now. Do they plug it into the wall? They might get a charge out of that dude one of these days. They may get something worse than lung cancer, boy. They may get a fire down their guzzler cord. Amen. Fry them from one end to the other one. Amen. I never heard of it. But look here. God has convicted people of cigarettes. And I love you. But God has convicted people of cigarettes, and I'm telling you, they're bad for your health. They're going to kill you. Amen. They advertise it. They tell you that smoking will kill you. And yet people go on sucking them cigarettes. And some woman come by and said, "I had a cigarette. That thing looked like it was that long." I said, "Good night, I'm out of it. I've never in my life smoked just a boiling. I don't see how they stomach it. Come on in the house, boys and girls." I'm talking about practical things today. That's just something little. If we can't give up cigarettes, God help us. Amen. Number 6, forgetting those things which are behind us. Paul said, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before me." You know what? There's too many people trying to live in the past. Still trying to live back there where you were, not so much literally, but in your mind. You're still back there. Now, I'm not talking about necessarily back there in sin, but you're trying to still be back there. You ever walk into a restaurant or walk into a store or a business and they're playing music? I go down to the Grease Monkey, get my oil changed, and I walk in there and you know what they're playing? They're playing them old songs back in the 60s, 50s. And I'm telling you, when I hear one of them, I say, "God help me." It comes right back. My mind runs back to that little boy with his arm out of that old 51 Ford, cruising, you know, with that steering wheel and that Marlboro in his mouth. Son, I thought I was something else. And I go back there. But I'm going to tell you, too many people are living in the past back there. But then there's also too many people that are constantly tormented by the past. Paul said, "Forget it. Forget it." I don't know what in your tragedy in your past could trouble you. There's many. But Paul said, "Forget them. Whatever they are, forget the past. Don't let it alone. You can't change it. You cannot change what's already happened." People are in their mind are trying to change things that happened years back here, and you cannot do it. But I'll tell you what you can do. You can change some things that's out here. There's been people that have made mistakes back here. They can't cure it. They can't do it over. It's done. There's people that have spoken things back here about somebody that once it's said, it's done. Forget it. Forget it. Amen. Back there. Amen. Then, reach forth. Reach forth. Press on. Press on. I had a preacher tell me the other day, I was bragging on Chevrolets. And he said, I used to own Chevrolets. He said, I got to looking them words up in the dictionary. He said, I looked up the word dodge. He said, that means to shun and keep away from. He said, I knew right then it didn't want to dodge. He said, I looked up, Chevrolet wasn't in the dictionary. So I looked up General for General Motors. He said, it just meant just generally just anything. He said, I knew I didn't want just any old thing. He said, I looked up Ford. And said, Ford means to press on. He said, that's exactly what I said. I went out and bought me a Ford because it means to press on. That's what God wants us to do. Not buy a Ford. Press on. Press on. Amen. Buy the Chevrolet, but press on. Press on in the Chevrolet. Amen. That's right. And then just stand fast. Just stand fast. And forget those things back there. Don't go back to them. I mean, in your mind, in your life, don't go back to them. There's nothing back there. It's all before us. That's what that verse of Scripture is trying to tell us. What's behind us is gone. But what's before us is what counts. You know what's before us? Eternity. Eternity is out there. Jesus is out there. Our loved one that's went on is out there. Friends is out there. Boy, there's a lot of wonderful things. Heaven's out there. Can you imagine the rivers of laughter runs out of the throne? We'll sit down up there and dangle our feet in that river. God might let us catch a bass or two. Maybe a catfish. Never can tell. They're unclean, but He might let us have one of them anyway. Now I want to say number six. I'm about to get done. It's family affections. That pleases God. When we've got affections, love toward one another in our families. That's right. Praying together. Brother Chuck talked about how they prayed together on their knees about selling their property. We can pray together. That'll keep the honey in the honeymoon. We can worship together. We can stay together. Have those affections. Psalm 128 said, "Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord and walketh in His ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee." And then it says, "Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house." She's leaning on you, sir. She is a vine. They've got to have something to crawl up on. They can't stand straight up by themselves. They've got to crawl up a fence row, a tree, a house. That wife, to be stable, has got to have somebody. That is, and some wives need a man instead of a wimp with lace on his drawers. That's right. Women need a man, a godly man. And it said, "Thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord." Then last, and I'm closing. Simple thing, fearing God. That's just a practical thing that pleases God, is to fear Him. The Bible said in Proverbs 1:7, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." Proverbs 9:10 said, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding." Fearing God makes a man wise, ladies and gentlemen. If we really feared God, we would not sin near as much as we do. I got to thinking last night, thinking this morning. I wonder just how far a Christian would go into sin if he didn't fear God. I'm going to tell you, can I step out here for a minute? You're looking at a man that fears God. I would be afraid to do some things that other men have done. I'd be afraid God would kill me. Somebody said, "Oh, God wouldn't do that." You better read your Bible. Amen. There's not much fear of God. And that's not talking about reverential fear there in that manner. I'm talking about fearing God. God has the power to cut that little silver cord anytime He wants to. When He told that rich man, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee." One who took his life, you know who took it. God took it. And I'm telling you, fearing God makes a man wise. It'll make him stay away from sin, forsake sin. It enables us to wait, fearing God does. We're afraid to, I don't know about you, but I'm afraid to do some things without knowing God wants me to do it. I'd be afraid. I'd be afraid to do anything that I wasn't quite sure God wanted. And then it prevents us from wondering. People didn't fear God. They'd stray. They'd go. They'd wander. They'd do whatever they wanted to do, go wherever they wanted to go, sin ever how much they wanted to sin. And some people do. That's why I say they don't have any fear of the Lord about them. They're not afraid of God. I'm going to tell you something. I say this in all honesty. I've seen children. I've seen my own children. I've seen my grandchildren. And I can tell by the way some of them are. They have absolutely no fear of their father whatsoever. When I was a boy, I feared my daddy. But I still loved him. And I feared him because when he looked at me and said, "Son, me and you're going to make a trip out back," he meant exactly what he said. It wasn't one, two. It wasn't one, two, and three with Daddy. It was, "Hit the door, bud. We got a trip outside." And I learned to fear my father, but I loved him dearly. And I thank God for how he corrected me when I needed it. It helped me. And God's correction will help us.
Amen.
We learn to fear him. Let's stand together.